Hey, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Katie. You're listening to Nostalgia. Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, slime is glistening.
Ooh.
That was really good.
Top notch. For me. Guys, listeners, you don't know how stressful it is to do those intros.
Oh my God, it's so stressful. Usually, we just stare each other in the eyes and then look desperate. And then we're like, what do we say?
And almost
every time.
We've done
hundreds of episodes.
I'll do a really bad one and then we just cut it out completely. And then I'll do another one that's even worse. And then Katie will just do it and just do a good one.
So. We're going to do a super cut of all the ones that have sucked
someday.
No,
they're not even...
They're lost.
No, they're not lost. Trust me. It's a huge problem with my file management that I have every file we've ever recorded. And it takes up like hundreds of gigabytes, but for our extremely small scale podcast, but I have them all.
That's a real beige flag for me. You know,
file
he's
management.
A 10, but doesn't have great file management.
Did you know college students right now, professors are seeing that they don't know what folders are?
Oh, fascinating.
On their computers. It's a huge problem. Anyway, Kate, have you ever seen the movie Die Hard?
No, I've never seen the movie Die Hard.
What do you know about it?
Actually, almost nothing.
Any of the actors?
Bruce Willis.
Okay.
He has dementia now. It's sad.
Frontotemporal dementia?
It's not so good.
And aphasia?
Yeah.
It is a bummer. Okay, go on.
I know he is there. I think it takes place in a building.
Uh-huh. How do you know that?
I don't know. I've lived in the cultural milieu. I've been stewing in millennial soup my whole life. And then...
I like the millennial soup, which is like the modern version of the primordial ooze.
Yeah, the millennial soup. It's got various ingredients. One day I'll list out the ingredients for millennial soup.
But that day is not today.
That day is not today.
It's like got a movie to watch.
A dash of Stregonona.
What else do you know about Die Hard?
What do I know about Die Hard?
Haven't you seen the Die Hard battery commercials with Bruce Willis?
What?
Okay, never mind. Go on.
There's another man in it who's very famous. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's Gary Oldman or Alan Rickman, because their names both have man in it.
It's Alan Rickman.
Excellent.
I thought the other famous man you were talking about is the dad from Family Matters who's in this as a cop.
Oh.
Once again, playing a police officer.
That's literally all I know.
Okay.
Bruce Willis, he has aphasia and dementia. And
he doesn't have it in this movie.
Yeah, this is pre.
Yeah, way pre. So it's not really relevant to
Alan
the movie.
Rickman.
Uh-huh.
Not Gary Oldman.
Would you like to talk about an update on Alan Rickman?
He's dead.
Uh-huh.
But we got to see him as Snape last time.
Literally last week.
Last week, which was pretty fun.
That's what binds this together, I think.
And then...
And then what's that guy's name? Vel Johnson?
A building.
Yes.
Those are the three things that I know.
Okay.
Why are we doing it now?
It takes place at Christmas time, Kate. Die Hard takes place in one night. Around Christmas time, it's at a Christmas party in the office building that this event happens.
I've always been intrigued by the trope of capital T-O-P, the office Christmas party.
I think you're going to like this. Well, not this version of the party where terrorists take over the building. But so this is always put in, you know what? And I think the fun way to look at it is people are like, it's a Christmas movie. You know, it's not considered one traditionally, but it is. And then I think there's also a more lame version that's like, this is a Christmas movie for men who want to see men with their sleeves off and with guns, you know?
You're not even good at making fun of that.
So, Kate, Die Hard was released in theaters on July 12th, 1988. But let's go back, some context. An author named Roderick Thorpe. What a great name.
Yeah, that sounds like he does sound like a sleeveless man's man.
He wrote a novel called The Detective in 1966.
Okay.
The book was adapted into a movie in 1968, starring Frank Sinatra as the detective, whose name was Joe Leland. The movie was made by 20th Century Fox. It was a big hit, The Detective. In 1976, Thorpe wrote a sequel called Nothing Lasts Forever. And it's another adventure with this older, now retired Joe Leland character. And in this one, he battles a group of terrorists who've taken over a high-rise building at Christmas. They hold the building hostage and everyone in it. So for some reason, they didn't want to make a movie right away. They wait 11 years. In 1987, 20th Century Fox goes, you know what? Let's adapt that book into a sequel, you know, to our old movie from the 60s. And initially, it was just going to be a straight-up sequel, and they had to offer Frank Sinatra the role of Joe Leland. It was like in his contract from when he made The Detective in 1968. But it would have been kind of bizarre. He was in his 70s at the time, like much older than the character was supposed to be, and just would have been probably weird. But luckily he declined, so they were able to move forward. But like, it's just they had to offer to him. If he said yes, they would have had to make it with him or not make it at all. So they decide to make the movie now without Sinatra, and they make a few changes. First, they change the name for whatever reason to Die Hard instead of Nothing Lasts Forever. They hire John McTiernan to direct it. He had just directed Predator the year before in 1987. Oh. Have you ever seen Predator?
Sure haven't.
Okay. What do you know about Predator real quick?
It's not Alien,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it fights Alien.
Mm-hmm.
And does it have cool hair?
It has maybe braids.
No, I don't know anything about,
okay,
about Predator.
So Predator, the whole point of Predator is like an action sci-fi movie that stars like a bunch of buff macho action heroes. This is the 80s, the late 80s, where like Arnold Schwarzenegger has taken over cinemas as this steroided up, unrealistically huge, muscular man. So it's like you're in the era of Sylvester Stallone, who's huge here. Arnold's huge here. And the movie Predator in particular features many enormously buff male actors.
The straightest movie ever made.
Correct. So McTiernan's gonna make Die Hard, so now this is like gonna be probably...
It's like Predator, but without the Predator. And they're like, just be buff.
Right. It's gonna be a big action, macho...
What year did this come out?
This movie came out in 1988. Predator came out in 1987. So they get McTiernan, which means this is gonna be a macho, quote-unquote, action
sleeveless
movie. Sleeveless. Sweaty. Right.
Yeah. Men being men. Reaganomics.
With McTiernan in place as director, he makes a few more changes to the plot of the book. He makes it all take place in one night instead of over 3 days, which he claims was inspired by A Midsummer Night's Dream.
I'm not sure if I see it yet, but if it jumps out at me in the viewing, I will let you know.
That's why I wanted to tell you, so
I'm
you can look for
it. I'm hoping that we get like a Bottoms Dream monologue, but probably not.
Well, they cast a Shakespearean actor as the villain, Alan Rickman. So just interesting, you know? I don't know. Right. I just thought that was unique. They renamed the detective. Instead of Joe Leland, he's going to be called John McClane. I don't know why, but maybe just so that it's obviously not supposed to be that Frank Sinatra movie sequel.
Yeah.
And they went to try to cast any of the big action, male action stars. They offered Sylvester Stallone. They offered to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who passed to make Twins, his first comedy. He was like getting out of the action game almost. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford, Clint Eastwood, Mel Gibson, Al Pacino, who I don't think of as a big action star, but he was offered it too.
I think if you greased him up a little bit and cut the sleeves off of his button down.
Yeah,
he
did like Dog Day Afternoon. Yeah. He did like, what's that Russian roulette one? Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I think he can make it work.
Yeah.
But there would be like a lot of greasing and oiling involved.
I think there was in this too with the guy.
Was there like a head
with.
Oiler? So, Tyler, you're not doing the right amount of research.
Everybody passed. So they were like, what do we do? We've offered it to every leading man who could headline a macho action movie, but nobody wanted it. So this is where we get to Bruce Willis. He was a young, struggling actor in New York in the late 70s and early 80s. His early breakout role was when he was cast in the TV show Moonlighting. Ever heard of it?
Sure haven't.
I think we would actually unironically like Moonlighting. It's Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd as private detectives who have a will-they-won't-they romance and sort of a drama comedy.
Right,
it sounds
kind of
cool.
Into
in the
it.
80s.
It's like the X-Files, but no X-Files.
Yeah, correct.
All right, I get it.
I've never seen it, but I think you in particular might like this show.
Does Bruce Willis have hair in this movie?
Yes. Just
what?
He's on his way to being bald. You know, like, you know what I looked like before I embraced my baldness?
Yeah.
And we have some friends still, you know who you are, who have this kind of hair where it's like, you're gonna be bald, but you're not quite yet.
Okay.
You'll see. So he had hair on Moonlighting.
I can't believe
too.
You call that our friends like that. I love you no matter what your hair looks like, friends.
Look, I am always preaching, just shave it.
What and if your head's lumpy?
Maybe they don't want to shave it because they look at me and they're like, he shaved it. I'm not doing
that. That's not good.
Moonlighting's a comedic drama, and it established Willis primarily as a comedic actor. But after every leading man turned down Die Hard, they decided to go with Bruce Willis, a really unusual choice. He had only been in Moonlighting, and he had a comedy role in one movie called Blind Date. That was it for his main acting credits.
I am going to postulate something here, and I want to hear your thoughts as a man.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only time I've ever solicited a man's advice or input.
Don't worry, a man will give you his advice whether you solicit
whether you
it,
want
or
it or not.
I'm including myself in that.
We're going to call it the oily corollary. If you oil any man up enough, can he become an action star?
Oh, maybe that's what this movie tests.
Yeah, like soft boy plus oil.
Do you think Michael Cera could be oiled up enough to be an action hero?
It would take a lot of oil, but I think we could do it. Michael, if you're listening, Michael Cera, not other Michaels who maybe are listening.
Michael Cera, please come over to the studio here. And
we'll oil you up. I don't know if we have enough oil. Also, what kind of oil is it? Is it like
tall.
A synthetic oil? Is it like a...
I just think it's baby oil.
Baby oil?
I don't know.
I was thinking
it has
like,
to be
like
clear.
Could it be canola? Like
olive.
Pure
you smell great.
Canadian oil lard, whatever that thing is. How do you say it? What's the acronym for canola?
Oh, it's like
Canadian oil lard ass or something.
So, Kate, Bruce Willis. They looked
I'm so sorry. I really caffeinated a lot before we recorded.
John McTiernan was thinking, I think we could oil him up enough. But Bruce Willis,
he's muscular. Okay. He's a little
wiry.
Yeah, he's like a little buff boy.
Here's what they decided. They said, okay, we're gonna hire Bruce Willis because we're desperate, but he's charming. And they decided instead of be Arnold, this larger than life superhero, we're gonna get the everyman, like hot and macho, but like in a more like that's the guy who delivers your FedEx kind of way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, right.
Well, young because, Bruce Willis delivering a package.
Well, before Bruce Willis was an actor, and while he was a struggling actor in the 70s, he worked actual jobs. You know, he was security. He was like a rent-a-cop security guy. He was a bartender. Right. Like he has this kind of life experience. So he was thrilled to be offered the role because, like, this is a huge break for him to be, like, the action star in a movie. It was unexpected, but his moonlighting schedule made it so he couldn't take it. So he had to turn it down. But by dumb luck, Sybil Shepherd got pregnant. She got herself pregnant. So moonlighting went on a hiatus and he was able to go do it. But then, like, I'm giving you too much information here.
This is a lot of information.
Eventually, the way that then Die Hard got delayed. So eventually he was doing both at the same time and was just tired all the time, which I think is good for his performance in Die Hard. As you'll see, he's very exhausted by the end of the film.
Okay.
And he was just working nights on Die Hard and days on moonlighting. Same as Michael J. Fox on Back to the Future. He was doing the exact same thing. It was horrible. He just worked around the clock. And his sitcom,
I have no idea. Talk to me.
Not gonna tell thing. You'll figure it out.
Kitty Ties.
It has ties in
Family
there.
Ties,
there you go. Ding 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 ding.
Why was I thinking Spin City?
He did that show much later. He had to leave Family because of his Ties. Parkinson's. Family Ties is when he's a teen in the 80s.
Why are we talking about this?
Because him and Bruce Willis had a similar experience filming their movies and shows. Alan Rickman, Kate, is a classically trained stage actor. He studied at London's Royal Academy of Dramatic Art and was a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company. He was mostly a stage actor, but he had a few British TV credits. Die Hard is his first ever film role.
Wow. Anyway.
Pretty cool.
Alan Rickman's kind of like ugly delicious.
You're
is
like,
he getting oily in this movie?
I think you're going to like this movie a lot. Bruce Willis versus Alan Rickman.
In this movie?
We'll have to see.
It's like a wiry little mongoose versus a scone.
And
I'm
then
in.
Bonnie Bedelia is also a co-star in this movie.
Is that Amelia's sister? Amelia Bedelia's sister? Bonnie Bedelia?
She started her career as a, thank you for explaining the joke. She was a soap opera actress and transitioned into films throughout the 80s. Her brother, by the way, is Kit Culkin, the father of Macaulay Culkin and all the Culkins, who seems evil,
wow.
Right? Like, he's not a
he
good
just,
guy.
Yeah, and he made, like, a bunch of little actors, and then he was mean to them.
Didn't treat them right. So she is their aunt.
Kitty, what's her name? Bonnie?
Bonnie Bedelia.
Bonnie Bedelia. Could you have stepped in at some point?
Oh my God. It's not her responsibility. She might not have known the extent of the horrors.
Macaulay just
did.
Got that star on the Walk of Fame,
he
though.
Did yesterday.
So what really was he doing wrong?
Did the end justify
the means?
Catherine O'Hara introduced him and then he said, thanks, Mom. Because he probably didn't like his mom either in real life that much.
Damn.
Reginald Vell Johnson, the dad from Family Matters, which premiered a year after Die Hard, and he's a cop in both, leading to all sorts of dumb internet memes about, is it the same universe? Does Steve Urkel exist in the Die Hard universe? Which actually is kind of fun to think about.
People, calm down on the internet. Go outside. Throw a pottery on a wheel.
Don't get me started about the memes of that Die Hard as a Harry Potter movie. I don't even want to...
Garden. So, relax.
Die Hard
Read
premieres in theaters July 12, 1988. It's a success. It was the third highest grossing film at the box office that week. Want to guess what the other two were?
1988.
It was
Back to the
July
Future.
July 1988.
One of the Back to the Futures. Not Jurassic Park.
Back to the Future came out in 1989 and 1990, by the way. The sequels. First one was
85. Indiana Jones.
Why are we even doing this?
Yeah, Romancing the Stone.
So a podcast
Crocodile
that's
Dundee.
Way better than us, Blank Check, they do the box office game every week. And it's really fun. They have to...
I do any of them?
Guess Who's Coming... No, oh my God. You did none of them. Coming to America.
Guess Who's Coming to America.
Coming to America with Eddie Murphy. And Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And then in my notes, I just wrote, what a time to be alive. You could have gone to the movies that weekend and seen all three of those
Triple
movies.
Feature.
What a crazy... Okay, but it was a success. It launched Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman's careers as movie stars. That's pretty cool.
Golly.
And it was super impactful in Hollywood in general because it inspired movies with everyman action heroes. So
yeah,
there
movies
are like,
with like soft boy, oily boy.
And that take place in like a confined space in one day. Like there were a slew of these that were coming out, these like Die Hard clones. So much so that when they want to make a sequel to Die Hard, they like at first couldn't figure out what to do. Like, for example, this is a few years later, but Speed is kind of a similar idea to Die Hard, you know?
Yeah, you're just in a bus.
Right, it's Die Hard on a bus. And that would be the joke in Hollywood. Yeah. It's like, this is Die Hard in a blank. So when they, you know, they really struggled to make their sequels, but they did. In 1990, they made Die Hard 2. In 1995, they made Die Hard with a Vengeance. In 2007, they made Live Free or Die Hard. And in 2013, they made A Good Day to Die Hard. Plus, there have been a bunch of video games and comic books and, you know, the whole shebang. So anyway, there's the cultural conversation. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? We're going to settle that today. I've never seen this all the way through. This is a movie I've seen bits of on TV, only the censored version where he says, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, instead of the real iconic line. Oh, did you know that there's catchphrases in this movie?
No.
Oh.
Like, which ones?
You'll see. It has
Please
to do with...
help me get all this oil off my body.
It has to do with yippee-ki-yay. Ready?
I mean, I guess I'm as ready as I'll ever be. Bring me these oily men. Bring me the everyman covered in canola.
Mr. Guest. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Unless you want to open a front door for me.
No, I'm afraid not.
But you have me at a loss.
You know my name, but who are you? Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually. I really like those sequin shirts.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Canola is short for Canadian Oil Low Acid. It's not an acronym necessarily. It's just a weird shortened, like a, there's a name for that type of word. Wow, you know what's really weird, Kate? Do you think our smart devices are listening to us? I turned on the TV and they're trying to recommend Who Framed Roger Rabbit and an Eddie Murphy movie.
And Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Well, we watched Harry Potter last week. That one makes sense.
I guess.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I mean, I do love cartoons. All right, maybe it's not a conspiracy. Maybe they just know me. Here's all the posters, Kate, for all the sequels.
It's a lot of Bruce Willis looking off to the side. What is he looking at? What's over there, Brucey? A New York City police officer tries to save his estranged wife and several others taken hostage by terrorists during a Christmas party at the Nakatomi Plaza Los Angeles.
I've always wanted to watch this all the way through, and I've just never gotten around to it. I'm really excited.
You know what? It's nice that he's working this hard for his ex-wife.
It's true.
All right, here we are. L.A. You can tell because of the smog.
It is very orange, isn't it?
Is that man missing fingers? That's a clue.
I think he's just gripping the armrest really tight. He's a nervous flyer.
I thought it was going to be a man with missing fingers.
No. This isn't the inspiring story of a man with missing fingers who saves a building from a hostage taker.
All right, so the most realistic part of this movie, I think, to exist at all, and we're only 30 seconds in, is a man giving you unsolicited advice about how to recover from your air travel trip on the airplane.
The man sitting next to, yeah.
Make sure you make fists with your toes. Take all your shoes and socks off. Ah, the 80s, when you could just fly with a gun on the plane. Yeah, you can look at Bruce Willis's hair right now and tell that it is not long for this world. Here we are at the baggage claim.
Thanks for the play-by-play.
Look at Bruce Willis's little bear, though. That's cute.
Except for his ex-wife, do you think?
Maybe, do they have children together?
I don't know.
Co-parenting?
I've only ever seen parts of it on TV. I have no idea.
It's a nice little bear.
Little? That bear's huge.
All right, so Bruce Willis is carrying, concealed carry on a plane, and then he's like, it's all right, I'm a cop when someone sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, he got through security, whatever that looked like in 1988.
I was just a man patting you softly, but he was not with the TSA. I said in the beginning, I have always been interested in the office Christmas party trope. I've never been in a situation to attend like an office Christmas party, you know?
Yeah, me neither. This is a pretty fancy office, too.
Yeah.
The Nakatomi Corporation.
It's Christmas Eve and they're having this big swanky party. Couldn't they have it like the Saturday before? In the 80s, Brie was like very fancy, I feel like.
You think this man trying to lure this woman into a date with Brie, aged Brie?
Yeah.
You couldn't just get it at Aldi like we can.
The 80s when you're like, do you think the gestating infant that I have inside my womb is okay to have a sip of liquor? And they're like, yeah, go ahead.
All right, so this answers it. They have two children at home.
This mom has like a high-powered administrative assistant job. She is working on Christmas. Paulina, their housekeeper, is home with the kids. Also, it is Christmas Eve. It is 5:40 p.m.
Yeah.
Why are you still here, ma'am?
She's at the party.
Oh, she's so tortured by her ex-husband's existence. He's only got one big bear also.
For both children.
As the parent of two children, like, you need to know you have to get two bears.
You said that like you're the parent of two children.
As someone who could You know what I mean? Like, as Bruce Willis, the parent of two children in this movie, you know you need to get two bears, unless that's a plot point.
Back then, kids could share, Kate.
No.
Would you and your sister have shared this big bear?
No, absolutely not. We would have battled to the death over it.
Me and my brother, too. He would have used the bear to smother me, I think.
We've all been in an Uber like this, where it's like, so, are you divorced? Why'd you get divorced?
And then he said, hey, stop asking. He's like, come on, tell me. Yeah. Tell me more about your very personal marriage and divorce.
All right, so Amelia Bedelia's sister, Belinda Bedelia. What the heck's her name?
That's Betty her name.
Bedelia? Belinda Bedelia?
I think so.
It's Bedelia?
No, it's Belinda.
Belinda Bedelia.
Bruce Willis's wife.
She's going career first. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That I like. We got a little Run DMC Christmas music here. That's nice. All right, so he's just a police officer. He has one gun.
He's a New York cop visiting his recently divorced wife in LA and his kids.
Yeah, she must be doing well. She sent a car to pick him up, Mrs. McLean.
She said, I'm getting divorced.
Statistically, the right choice.
Did you ever use a touchscreen in like the early 90s?
No.
They had them at Disney World when we went in 1996. And they were just like this, like slow to respond. My mind was blown.
Oh, no. Huh. It's not Ms. McLean.
He can't find her name in the directory because she's not going by McLean anymore. Good for her.
Good for you, Holly. Trying to make her own life.
Gennaro.
Bruce Willis does have a classic 80s daddy look here.
Like daddy?
No, like father.
Oh, okay.
80s father.
Got it. Just checking.
Father.
You haven't seen him in his tank top and his grease yet. Might change your opinion.
That's when he goes into daddy mode.
That's more like a daddy, like under the sink fighting with a, like, you know, a leaking pipe, a greasy tank top.
Bruce Willis has arrived at this corporate office party. There's like an indoor water feature, a huge tree, people in suits.
He got handed champagne the moment he walked in the door. So at the Christmas party, Holly had to go fax some documents. Yeah. She is working.
She's the director of corporate something. Ellis is doing massive amounts of cocaine.
One of the coworkers.
In Holly's office. Yeah.
I guess it was probably just normal. Probably still is for these like high-powered people to just be doing cocaine in the office. She looks like she stuck her finger in an electrical socket.
It's a big amount of hair. I mean, I guess you do have to wash. He literally just asked, is there a place where I could wash up? I guess you would have to wash up after flying on an 80s plane because everyone is smoking.
Including him.
Yeah.
He was smoking in the limo, too. This is my nightmare, taking the flight from New York to LA, and then before you can even go to like a hotel or anywhere, you have to go straight to this party.
He's just using someone else's towel to wipe his armpits.
He's washing his face, his armpits.
All right, so Belinda Bettina, Holly McLean, Gennaro, is like, what if you just like came and stayed at the house? Wouldn't that be nice? And they're having a nice moment, and then they gotta go back to the party.
Hey, what's going on? Is she trying to rekindle this?
She's saying that she missed him.
Who ended it? What's going on here?
Look how, for the amount of hair that Bruce Willis has on his chest, he's not gonna have a lot of hair on his head soon. It's all migrating downwards.
Sometimes that's how it works. Okay, maybe it's not so nice.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's good. It's probably pretty realistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Like, they're rehashing this old argument. Mm-hmm. He's upset about her using her maiden name. Thank goodness she's not just an administrative assistant. I'm actually thrilled.
Yeah, she's
high-powered.
I'm
sad that I made that assumption.
Way to go, Kate.
I'm the problem. The doctor was the woman the whole time. The doctor could operate on him because she is his mother.
What?
You ever hear that thing where it's like the doctor says, I can't operate on my son, but the father was in the waiting room? Then who was doctor? The doctor was mother.
No, I've never heard that thing. And I don't know if I've heard it now.
That wasn't clear.
Aren't you following this mysterious box truck?
I'm confused by the truck. I don't like it. Who is that? Dolph Lundgren?
No.
You sure? All right, so now there's some kind of exciting heist. And all the men in the heist... Okay, 2/3 of the men in the heist we've seen so far look like Dolph Lundgren, and one is a black man.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm just confused.
It's a multicultural crew of terrorists, Kate.
I thought that was a moon pie.
It was a bomb.
It was like a flashbang grenade.
I thought it was a hockey puck.
I thought it was like a delicious pie. Snack. He was going to lure him over to be like, come get the snack.
It's on a fishing line.
That would work with me. This crew of international terrorists looks like the Village People. There's just a variety of men.
Different hair lengths.
I like it.
How's Alan Rickman look?
Alan Rickman actually looks mighty tasty.
Pretty tasty. I was going to say the word tasty too.
Right. He looks well-groomed.
He's got a nice little beard.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't expecting him to look like this, were you?
Huh.
You've only seen him really as Snape.
Well, Snape got a haircut.
This happy man just typing and humming.
He was doing hacking, Tyler. Do not bother him. He was doing his Hunt and Peck hacking.
Uh-oh. They stopped the escalators. How will everybody escape now? They'll be immobilized at the top or bottom of a non-moving escalator.
The gates are down.
Hell yeah. Dads everywhere rejoice when this movie comes on TNT.
Great. right, Alan. Trench coat. Okay. The one guy who was doing the hacking just like karate kicked the servers and they exploded. It was amazing.
After carefully hacking for a while. I guess they closed everything up and now no one can open it, right?
Yeah.
It's Bonnie Bedelia, by the way.
Not Belinda Bedelia.
Not Belinda.
Just rolls it's right Bonnie. Off the tongue. Belinda Bedelia. Belinda Bedelia. All right, we got a German guy. Oh, and he's sliding down that thing like a cool guy.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, he went down some stairs with railings and just kind of whoop.
What is that?
That's an angle grinder, Kate. The same thing that you could use to steal anybody's bike.
He's really grinding. Oh no, Bruce Willis is, his. First of all, Bruce Willis's feet are not camera ready. Wow.
For that close up.
Oh
look, he's doing the thing the guy on the plane told him, and it's working.
He's doing the thing the man on the plane told him. He's, I guess, like sort of practicing mindfulness. It's unclear.
Huh.
All of these international terrorists seem to really enjoy their job. They're all like humming. They're like, dum, 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 boom, boom, as they're like hacking, cutting wires.
Gotta whistle while you work.
All these Dolph Lundgrens.
None of them, for the record, none of them are Dolph Lundgren.
They look like they were made in the same mold as Dolph Lundgren, don't they?
A little bit.
Doesn't he have like a master's in chemical engineering?
Yeah, he's really smart.
Good for
he's
Dolph.
He's not just a beefcake. I mean, he is, but not just.
Good for Mrs. Dolph. Get you a man who can do both. So here they are. They've arrived at the Christmas party. Bruce Willis here is shooting.
Yeah, he was still kind of getting changed. Yeah.
He was touching the carpet with his feet.
Yeah, so that's why he's in his tank top. He wasn't finished getting dressed again after wiping down his armpits with that person's towel.
All right, so Bruce Willis is in his new uniform, which I assume we're going to have for the rest of the film. It's a tank top and pants, and he's barefoot.
That's very important.
That's important.
That's going to be very important later.
So that unsolicited advice was important to get him barefoot.
Right.
Got it.
That's some good movie writing.
He's just Snape.
Yeah, but he's German.
He's German Snape.
He's lightly German. What did he say his grievance was? Are they like Greenpeace?
They said that they have a lot of corporate greed.
All right.
This international terrorist gang loves music. They're always like,
Hans Gruber's doing it. Well, they're in the elevator, and I guess there's no music yet because it's under construction, so he's got to make his own.
Bruce Willis has great pants in this, though. They look really comfortable. I like that they're letting Alan Rickman chew the scene like this.
You know what he does here, though, that he doesn't do is Snape smiles a lot.
I do like the smile.
I've never seen him smile.
Yeah, the smile's nice. It's a nice choice. Good choice for Hans Gruber, good choice for Alan, and a good choice for me. Thanks, Alan. From the grave.
R.I.P.
Why is Bruce Willis crawling?
He's staying low.
He could just squat. Hans Gruber wants the bonds, the money.
Yeah, he wants money. Is Bruce Willis still rolling around on the floor?
He just loves rolling around.
He's doing tummy time, actually, I think is what was happening there.
There's that man with a knife in his mouth showing you the basics of cable management. Look how little Alan Rickman's feet are. He just had little tiny feet. There's nothing scarier than a grammatically correct villain, you know? On what floor did the alarm go off? Uh-oh. Bruce Willis is starting to sweat. They've lubed him up just a little bit.
He's glistening. Or he's on his way, yeah.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, Bruce is glistening. He's really doing a lot of yelling to himself in a situation where being stealthy and quiet is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, but remember, this is a Shakespearean action movie, so he has to soliloquy.
He is.
Soliloquize.
He's doing a lot of, you know, when in Shakespeare's plays, they're like, oh, hark, the sun.
Yeah.
It is setting.
Yeah.
He's like, they're turning around the police cars.
Yeah.
I like how small Bruce Willis is in this interaction. He's on the big man's back and he's just on there. His legs like are flying out. They're
spinning
splayed.
Him around.
It's really great because it's what I would look like fighting a regular sized person. I like it. Bruce Willis is really tumbling here. What are we doing? This person has applied safety goggles.
He's got like a drill.
All right, here's Brucey looking for clues.
And items, right? You know, he like took the guy's lighter, the guy he killed.
Yeah, I've played enough video games to know you gotta take the items from the body. That's how you get the good stuff. Could he not simply just hide in this elevator till it's all over?
I think he wants to help.
His
wife might die.
Ex-wife.
They're not divorced yet.
Yeah, and he's refusing to admit that they're divorced, I guess.
I mean, talk about a grand gesture to try to
win her back.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis has like posed this corpse that says, now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
It's got a Santa hat
like
on it.
Pretty macabre.
A little bit. I mean, he's mad.
Bruce Willis is out here doing espionage. He's in the elevator. He's figuring out who their names are. He's going to find out their preferences, what they're scared of. He's going to make like a Saw style trap for them.
He's made kind of a scary kill list on his arm too. So this isn't safe.
Tyler, what in this movie is safe? Tyler's up here like, this isn't safe riding on top of the elevator. Meanwhile, an entire company is being held hostage. Carl's not taking it well.
Yeah, so that was Carl's brother who Bruce Willis killed. Good, so it's personal now.
There's Bruce Willis doing his wiry little guy run up the stairs. I feel like all of these members of this international terrorist organization are just hot as hell. It's a very confusing, like, who do I root for, you know?
You only root for people based on how attractive they are?
No, I just mean, like, new information. I just mean, like, when they're putting out the casting call for as the terrorist organization, they're like, you can only join if you're hot as hell. That's it.
They do all put a lot of time into their hair, their outfits.
Here he is.
Reginald Bell Johnson.
Daddy Urkel.
He's his neighbor.
Neighbor Urkel Daddy. Happily loading up on Hostess cupcakes for his wife. Bruce Willis is clinging to life, holding on to some kind of cooling fan. Still barefoot.
His little toes almost got cut off by that fan. Risky. Yeah, he is finally in a direct confrontation with a bunch of terrorists on the roof.
All right, so here's Brucey. He's crawling around in some kind of tall shaft. I like some of Bruce Willis's, like, goofy throwaway lines. They feel really corny. It's like a good juxtaposition between these action sequences. Right now, this feels like a movie that isn't taking itself too seriously, which I kind of enjoy. Like, it's a pretty silly premise. You know what I mean? That's a little bit refreshing. All right, here's Steve Urkel's long-suffering neighbor. Mr. Flamenchance. What's his name?
Carl Winslow?
Carl Winslow.
Not in this movie.
All right, here's one police officer here to save the day. They get the one German who can put on, like, a Texas accent to be the security guard. He's like, evening officer, what can I do for you?
Yeehoo. He's really dirty now. How did his shirt become brown?
Well, it's because he's been sweating. And that, what's his name is bad.
The what?
The ducts are probably pretty dirty. He's crawling around in the ducts.
Right.
Ducts. Ducts.
He's in the HVAC.
Ducktails.
His tank top has been turned completely brown. Not one speck of white remains. It's like, well, it's been Dharmit guide.
I think it's from the oil, the oiling. They've actually marinated him in kind of like a light teriyaki broth. No, not Heinrich's bag, which was full of C4. What a stylish little C4 bag.
I just thought they might have been worried because it was such a good bag. They hate to lose it.
Alan Rickman's diction is absolutely beautiful. Like, it's just so beautiful. That's all. It's really lovely.
And then just every once in a while, he sounds just like Snape. We must find the bag.
Mr. Potter. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Potter. I really hope that Bruce Willis brought, like, a protein bar for the plane, because it's a long time to go. There's a lot of, like, caloric expense happening here.
If he thought he was going to just eat at the party, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Argyle has now figured out what's going on, but he's picking up the CB communication, the shortwave. Like, is that a shortwave?
I don't know. I don't understand CB.
I don't know what a CB radio is. If people are into that, write in and tell me how a CB radio works. And what would your CB radio handle be? Couldn't they use, like, some kind of, like, cop lingo that only cops know?
Like what?
I don't know. Like a code. They're like, oh, we got a 327. They'll be like, oh, yeah, 327. I know what that is.
That means that there's a German terrorist holding this whole building hostage.
Can they use that? All right, they're locking in, locking down.
This elite squad of cops, they're like hurting themselves on the rose bushes out front.
Yeah, that's what I like this movie, because it doesn't take itself super seriously, which is really nice. This movie could have taken itself so seriously, right?
Can you tell the story about how last night, before you fell asleep, you were thinking about Die Hard? Because to be transparent, we recorded this over 2 days. We stopped partway through. We stopped pretty early in the movie.
Hold on.
Yeah, right.
All right. One of the terrorist group members is, like, staging himself for a gun battle, but he's at, like, a candy counter where they sell, like, candy and magazines, and he just reached into the candy counter and took a Crunch bar.
He, like, looked around first to make sure nobody saw him.
It's amazing.
But we stopped after half an hour and then stopped for the night, and then it's now the next day and we're watching the rest. And what happened?
Yeah, while I was trying to fall asleep, I was like, huh, I wonder how Die Hard's gonna end.
How are they gonna get through the other six layers of vault?
I was really thinking about it a lot.
That's good. That's a good sign.
It is a good sign.
Usually when you think about the stuff we watch on Nostalgia at night, it's usually to be like, why did I waste my finite life energy watching that?
This is time that I'll never get back. I'm enjoying myself though. Halfway through, I'd say. Yeah, not bad.
It's very compelling.
Yeah, oh definitely.
I don't really see how it'd be so good on a second watch, because I just feel like we're just unraveling, like, what's gonna happen next? It's very exciting.
They tried to pick the lock on Nakatomi Plaza. It wasn't really working. And they were like, all right, Mike, burn it. And then Mike got out some kind of arc welder. And he's using it without any proper safety equipment of any kind.
All their eyes are fully exposed. And one of them's crouching like an inch from it.
Look, He's really... Wow. Oh, wait. Maybe he has a mask. Hold on. Let's see. Nope. Mike's just raw dogging it. Mike's just... His whole full face is exposed to this arc welding situation that we have. What do we got going on here?
It seems that we're going to find out.
Okay. It's the missile launcher that was teased to us a bit earlier.
You mean Chekhov's missile launcher?
Chekhov's missile. All right. So they just blew that amphibious vehicle situation. They just blew it up with
a big...
Really an extreme explosion.
I feel like Bruce Willis might have accidentally just demolished the building.
Yeah. All right. So Bruce Willis has shoved a bunch of C4 down the elevator shaft and just detonated it. But it just absolutely blew out the bottom of the building. Just the whole building.
It was whatever floor they were launching the rockets from?
It's unclear.
Is that the idea? Because I think so. He blew up the remaining rockets for their rocket launcher.
I guess. I don't know.
But it was absolutely insane, and I feel like it endangered everyone in the building.
100%. That little perfectly trimmed beard on Alan Rickman is really working.
He looks great.
Not everyone could pull that beard off.
Yeah, the sides are very low.
This cocaine-consuming salesman is like, all right, I'll go in there and talk to them. Right, this is terrible.
It's like a Wall Street business guy.
Excellent. He will solve this with finance.
Of course, Alan Rickman also speaks perfect French. Oh, no.
Whoa.
Alan Rickman is asking for the release of prisoners, and he just asked for some prisoners who were working with a Francophone group, and I am unwell. I must go.
I think this movie's got a man for everyone who's into men.
A man for all kinds.
And then there's the Alan Rickman kind.
And you got Al.
And Al. I'm sorry I left Al out.
Yeah, don't you dare leave Al out. He's a cutie pie. Look at him.
If you want a nice daddy man.
Yeah. And don't forget about the Dolphs, the two Dolphs.
And then if none of those three do it for you, you got all the Dolphs running around the building.
Yeah. And you got this hacker guy, too. There's something for everybody.
Don't forget Argyle.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot about Argyle. If you like men, watch this movie. If men do it for you, go ahead. Take a look. It's a veritable smorgasbord of man.
This is a
male.
A good instance where it doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah. That's true. Really, not a lot of women characters. Not doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Holly Gennaro's doing some stuff. She's working on it.
Yeah.
But
she doesn't get to talk to another woman.
Sure doesn't. Sure does not.
Alan Rickman's getting his hands dirty. Why is he like looking at these wires himself?
He's just checking it out.
Why not send one of his guys?
There's not that many guys left, you know? That's true.
Got
a dwindling supply of guys.
Hmm.
There's two guys needed to open the vault. You have to have guys watching the hostages.
Mm-hmm.
Guys making sure that they take the hostages to the bathroom. At least one guy sitting with a pregnant lady, you know? All right, so Alan Rickman's masterclass of acting of playing Hans Gruber, who now is having to pretend to be...
An American hostage. Because he encountered Bruce Willis by accident.
But he's not doing a good job.
Yeah, what is
this
voice?
We should include
voice?
That audio of him going, please, please, no.
Please, God, no, you're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them. No, don't kill me, please. No, please. Don't kill me, please.
Whoa, relax.
Please.
Relax. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you.
Oh, no. Hans. What duplicity.
Doot, doot, doot.
Hans's really bad acting somehow worked. It's probably because, what's his name?
Bruce Willis?
Yeah, but his character.
John McClane.
Not Don McClane. singer of American Pie. John McClane has never, ever seen a movie, I don't think, so he doesn't know that people can act.
What if Don McClane was the star of this starry, starry night?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. My name is Mr. Cowboy.
Is it Don McClane or Don McLean?
McLean? Mr. Clean.
Back to your idea that John McClane has never seen a movie.
Yeah.
It's a bold theory.
John McLean. La 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 la
recognize the very Alan Rickman tones, even with a slightly different accent.
John McClane, hard-boiled detective.
He really fell for
policeman.
This.
Policeman. He's the worst policeman of all time. He's great at combat, but he has no idea how to do any of this, unless this is a long ruse.
Could this be a trick gun that he gave him?
A trick gun, huh?
I don't know, like a Looney Tunes that blows up in your own face.
Yeah, it's going to shoot and go gat.
So the gun had no bullets.
It didn't have any bullets.
But now he's being shot at by like all the other guys anyway.
All the Dolphs came out of the woodwork. Every single Dolph that's left.
I'd like to just confirm for the record, Dolph Lundgren is not
in this
movie.
He's not, but it's all of
We're
Dolph
talking
Lundgren's
a lot about
clone.
Him. but he is not in the film. It's
every Dolph Lundgren clone to exist.
Did you see that guy get shot in the knees? That was pretty graphic.
He really did. It was like pretty graphic. Really, and then he fell through a window, and I can only assume his neck was cut.
It was gnarly.
Oh, we got one more Dolph.
The final Dolph.
Last Dolph standing.
Unless they all join together to form one mega Dolph.
Do you think that Dolph Lundgren's real name is Adolf?
I don't know. If my name was Adolf, I surely would shorten it.
Schieß dem Fenster.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, shoot the glass.
Yeah, schieß dem Fenster. Does Carl not speak German?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he has a concussion. Oh, see, they've shot out the glass because he knows that Bruce Willis doesn't have any shoes on.
Right.
Little did we know, Bruce Willis has been walking on really hard gravel for many months to get ready.
Just in case.
Yeah. Kind of like you in the summer when
I refuse to wear socks. First it started with no socks, and then sometimes it's no shoes either.
Yeah, when you have no shoes, no socks summer, and then your feet become hard like wood so that you can chase the ice cream man no matter what your shoe situation is.
If this sounds made up, it's not.
It's not.
They really, really wanted to foreshadow this glass thing, right?
They really did.
The shoes, he tried on a pair of shoes from a terrorist he killed, and then even when he was on the radio, after he blew out all the windows and said, who cares about some glass? I just want to make you remember, could have been Frank Sinatra at age 70 doing this. Drinking. Just, he's like, can we include that my character is always drinking so I can always drink?
He has a glass of scotch, but it never spills. I'd watch that. Carl's having a bit of a breakdown.
Carl's so upset that John McClane is still alive. John McClane killed Carl's brother.
All right, so we've got bloody feet. Here he is with his feet. You know, I'm here for all of it. The gentle male friendship.
Yeah, the tenderness.
Is developing between John McClane and Al. Al just admitted that he shot a child while he was on duty.
Playing with a ray gun.
Man, men will do anything except go to therapy.
They'll single-handedly.
They'll spill their guts to a fellow policeman who they've never met.
Through
a
walkie-talkie.
Occupation.
John McClane's way to avoid therapy is to single-handedly save an entire building from a group of terrorists.
All right, so the emergency seal has released, and they're playing Ode to Joy, which is a really nice touch.
Alan Rickman's so happy. And now you get the finale where John McClane is now fully shirtless because he had to take his dirty tank top and turn it into bandages for his feet. Although I don't know, I'd want to put those dirty brown and gray, formerly white tank top fabric strips on my open wound, but I guess he had no choice.
But he's got kind of like a tank top stencil on him. You know, he's got like a light outline of the tank top.
Oh yeah, he has a tank top tan. Huh.
Honestly, like, yeah, John, if you had just been like 10% better of a spouse, you could probably just be having it all. Your wife probably would have taken off for Christmas Eve. Wow. There's a lot of uppercuts going on right now. I feel like, John McClane only knows how to throw like haymaker punches, right? Like, he only knows how to do like the hook and the uppercut. We got Dolph doing some kind of martial art. He was shot.
Yeah, John McClane's got a bullet wound in his back.
Damn, son. Looks like it was a through and through, though. Poor Belinda Bedelia. Bettina Bedelia. What's her name?
Bonnie Bedelia.
Poor Bonnie Bedelia. She got to keep her top buttoned, her shirt buttoned for this whole time, except for the finale. Now she's got to reveal the brassiere.
Who did they do it to her?
No, like it was in the struggle.
Oh.
Her shirt came unbuttoned.
I see. To be fair, Bruce Willis is completely shirtless.
That's true.
For the finale, so.
But Holly McClane has not been crawling through ductwork and things
broken
like that.
Glass. And again, Bruce is in good shape, but he's not Arnold, you know? I respect that about this movie. He looks like pretty normal.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so funny how in this movie, like, the FBI are evil. The deputy sergeant of LAPD is evil. Like, only
vigilante.
The vigilante policeman. And Al, the like, desk cop.
Yeah.
Are the only two that are, like, right about everything. I like how unhinged John McClane is now.
Bruce is about to rappel down the building using a fire hose. This is absolutely wild.
It's getting
good. What the weird thing is? This movie's completely unhinged, and yet I 100% believe everything that's happening.
Yeah. This is the most I've had to suspend my disbelief so far, this hose. But he knew it could explode at any minute. Like, he had to do it.
He had to make some choices.
But up till this point, I agree. Everything is pretty plausible.
Here he goes again, about to bust through some glass.
This is covered head to toe. The FBI guys just got completely torched. They're dead, right?
Yeah, they're done.
The guys in the helicopters.
Yeah, Bruce Willis is just yelling now. He's just wading through that waiting pool in the middle of this 80s office, 80s style office, and just being like, ha, 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 ha. I love it. I love the amount of yelling that he's doing. I support it wholeheartedly.
The Christmas tree's down.
Christmas bells playing.
Yeah. Oh, no.
All right, so Bruce Willis has two bullets left. All right, so we got the desk guy. We've got Hans Gruber. We've got Holly Gennaro. And we've got Bruce Willis's bloody feet.
Also, when you made your joke about him not
I know.
Seeing movies, all he does is talk about movies. His whole catchphrase is based on Roy Rogers. Did he do it? Did he dispatch them both?
Okay, so
the packing tape was to tape a gun to his back.
Wow. Have you ever tried to remove something with like tape or bandages from your body? That would hurt more than stepping on the glass.
Yeah, he had to rip it off quickly. Be like, oh, it's stuck.
Oh, no. Hans's dead body is stuck on her. Oh, no.
He's not dead.
He's not dead yet.
No. Well, how are they stuck? What
he's
are they?
Gripping her arm.
Oh.
Oh, no. She had to release
her Rolex.
The Rolex that was a gift from her employer. Somebody catch the Rolex. And we got Hans going down. I would be like, listen, John, I'm so thankful that you've saved me. This is absolutely incredible. And yes, I think we should get back together and forget about this whole separation thing. But if you try to kiss me right now, oiled up, looking like you've been through a teriyaki bath, bleeding from every inch of skin.
Still glass probably sticking out of his skin.
Absolutely not. I would be like, John, back up.
We can kiss
step
later.
Step off. That's what I would say.
I thought you were going to say, we're still going to get divorced. This doesn't really change all the major issues in our relationship.
It probably doesn't. They probably still should get divorced.
Oh, look.
His new best buddy.
John McClane's like, Holly, get away from me. I want to go hug Al.
Yeah.
We're finally meeting face to face.
They're really sharing like sustained, meaningful eye contact
here. Yeah, it's nice.
I like it.
Did I do that? Oh, wow. Holly's going by her married name again. Oh, no. Carl is still here somehow.
Carl's still here, man.
Carl's unkillable.
It's because he's got a head like a Lego. All right, they just lit Carl up with bullets.
It's Al, right? Who hasn't fired a gun since he accidentally murdered a 13-year-old. And at least feels bad about that, I'd like to point out.
He did say that he felt bad about it.
And they did take him off, or he chose to be taken off of, his beat. You know, he doesn't do a job where he's in this. He's a desk cop. So at the bare minimum, the LAPD of the 80s did that.
Uh-oh. But now that he's killed again, he can't wait to kill more.
He has a taste for it again. Stop.
Look, he's ready. He almost just killed Argyle.
Another young man. Oh, my God.
John McClane, you still with us?
Yeah. But all things being equal, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Chalk up two more bad guys.
Well, the boys down here will be glad to hear that. You know we got a pool going on you.
What kind of odds am I getting?
You don't want to know.
Put me down for 20. I'm good for it.
So, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No.
No? We're listening to Let It Snow right now over the credits.
I think it's a movie.
Uh-huh.
It was enjoyable. I really had a great time.
Yeah?
But it is not a Christmas movie.
Why not?
Unless you count, like, Goodwill Among Men, the goodwill between John McClane and Al.
What makes it not a Christmas movie?
I mean, it takes place at Christmas, but lots of things take place in the winter, during the winter holidays. Mm. What do you think?
I get it. I understand the argument.
I think people who say Die Hard is a Christmas movie just like being contrarian and edgy. Come at me. Go ahead. Send me an internet DM. They only make me stronger.
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with watching this the Christmas season. You shouldn't limit yourself though like I would with a more traditional what we consider a Christmas movie.
Yeah, watch it anytime.
What's more of a Christmas movie, this or Harry Potter?
Honestly, they both feel like 9/11 movies to me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
Which Alan Rickman look do you prefer? We all know it's
You know what? No, I want Hans Gruber in Snape's robes.
All right, guys, Merry Christmas.
Sorry for that heavy breathing. That's what I'm looking for. I want the Hans Gruber wearing Snape's robes, and he also is speaking his perfect French that you know he knows how to speak.
Wow. All
right. I gotta go.
So,
wow, I'm unwell.
So you enjoyed this movie much more than you thought you might?
Yeah,
it was action movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed myself. I knew that I was enjoying it when I found myself thinking about it as I was trying to fall asleep. Yeah, I was like,
good.
Huh, wow.
Good.
Wonder how it's going to end.
I'm only sad they didn't give us exact details of how they got through all 7 layers of the vault. I thought that was going to be a little more detailed, but no, it's great. I love movies like this where like it takes place kind of in real time. There's this progression. He upgrades his weapons a little bit. Really enjoyed it. I really like Falling Down, which I feel like is inspired a little bit by this too.
And I have said it a couple times. I feel like if we are keeping them in, but I enjoyed that it didn't take itself too seriously, because this movie could have taken itself serious as a heart attack, and that would have not been enjoyable for me.
Yeah, there's some, so just every once in a while, some little silly things
little
happening.
Goofy little aside,
even just like when Hans Gruber fell to his death, and the police deputy's like, hope that's not one of the hostages. Like, his tone was so funny.
And just, it, you know what? I will agree with you. When, or no, maybe I won't agree with you. I will confirm
wow,
that
this...
Wow,
I was going to say that you never would do such a thing.
I will confirm that this movie feels, in a couple odd ways, Shakespearean.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say this is a Shakespeare play rather than a Christmas movie.
Wow.
You've got a couple, like, short soliloquies, you know? You've got, like, the Shakespearean thing where they're always like, oh, hark, it is night. they have to do a lot of description.
Yeah, it takes place in a limited, like, a one environment, you know?
You've also, I feel like, got the all-in-one night element of Midsummer Night's Dream.
Which also reminds me of A Christmas Carol. He did it all in one night. And, of course, you have Alan Rickman acting his butt off.
Yeah.
All right, you had enough?
Yep, sure have.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody. Go watch Die Hard. It was really good.
I don't know.
I'm glad to have finally watched it.
Me too. I'm glad that I saw it. I feel glad about it.
And we have one more next week. We have one more sort of Christmas, tangential Christmas movie to fit this theme. Tune in.
I would say, in the spirit of the holiday, go nurture one of the gentle friendships in your life where you feel like you can get support, like Al and John. Or maybe, alternatively, go to therapy.
And go wear a really dirty tank top.
Like
the kind of tank top your wife keeps telling you to throw out.
Yeah.
Because it's yellowed with age.
Several of them.
But you say, I wear it under a shirt. Why does it matter?
Wow. Can't believe we're airing our dirty laundry, as it were.
Do you think that's the argument that the McLeans had that led to their separation?
Yes, easily.
It's a spectacular adventure of escape and rescue. It's towering. It's explosive. It's one night of blazing suspense. 40 stories high. Bruce Willis in Die Hard, rated R.